Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's
up. Here's a chance. That call. Shot. Rebound. Score. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports number 240 on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Matt Robinson along with you today. Give us a follow on Twitter at Tall Can Audio. Hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. And if you like what we do, and obviously you do because you're still here, give us a follow over on Patreon. We're handing out all kinds of extras over there for just a little bit of support. That's at patreon.com/Tall Can Audio. All these links can be found on our usual social media feeds. The website, all these places, right? You can find them wherever you need to. Just me here for the moment. We're going to jump to some audio here shortly that we captured the other night. As most of you know, on Tall Can Sports 239, we had AJ Jakubek of TSN 1200 in studio to tee up the CFL season. That kicks off on Thursday, kicks off a week from Thursday for the Red Blacks. But we talked all about the Red Blacks, went in depth on some of the changes on the defensive side of the ball, how things might be a little different for what was kind of an inconsistent offense, the special teams side of things. And we went around the rest of the league too and kind of teed up the season with a guy who travels with the Red Blacks. He's got his thumb on the pulse of the league, knows what's up. But while we were here, we talked quite a bit. And you know how it is. You're having a couple of beers, you're talking sports, and things get away from you a little bit. And so we ended up covering a ton more ground than just the CFL. And so there's going to be bonus audio here from AJ, including what's coming up in just a moment, which is his thoughts on the World Cup, which also starts on Thursday in Russia. A couple different games going on there. So we asked AJ about the World Cup, and we got kind of 20 minutes of really good audio, not just on this year's World Cup, but the bid that was coming down later on in the week and did go down earlier on Wednesday that awarded the 2026 World Cup to a joint bid of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. I have some of my own thoughts on that. It seemed ridiculous to interject them in when you have an expert like AJ in studio. And I think he was skeptical as well about that bid, and you'll be able to hear that for yourself here shortly. Like I said, the joint bid did win. It is coming to be something like 60 games in America and then 10 in Mexico and 10 in Canada. So it's not really your World Cup. It's theirs, and we're for some reason tagging along and helping to pay the bill. Anyway, that's what this audio is going to be, is thoughts on the World Cup that is starting this week. And then thoughts on the bid that went down and was awarded earlier on in the week. So, and I got to tell you, after this, there is still more audio with AJ. That's going to go on an episode of Audio Whiplash, where we talk to AJ about his career a little bit. And he just finished traveling across Europe. Rob and myself have both been to Europe before. And so we ended up talking for like 30, 35 minutes about those things before we ever got into the CFL stuff. And so, you know, it seemed like the episode was going to run a little long and there was going to be, you know, a few different topics covered. So I just grabbed that audio, separated it. Like I said, we got a 30-minute audio whiplash coming your way in the very near future, which is just kind of running down some other stuff with AJ, talking beer, talking travel, talking his career, these sorts of stuff. I found that really interesting. I hope you will as well. So that will drop in the very near future. But today it's all about the World Cup. This episode of the show, shout out and thank you to Need a Beer, the Need a Beer Company. They are located at 190 Colonnade Road in Ottawa, or give them a visit at needabeer.com. They provided us with a little product for this episode and have always been extremely supportive of what we do. So big thanks to them. If you're listening to this before Saturday, June 16th, They are involved with a local music festival. It's called Rock and Rail. It takes place at 159 Colonnade Road. You can get more information on that at recordrunner.ca. That's recordrunner.ca for more information and tickets, including a list of bands. But it's a family event, great food, great local music, including a bunch of bands that just finished up playing Canadian Music Week. So very cool there. And then, of course, great craft beer being poured by our friends from Nita Beer Company. You can give them a follow on any of the social media feeds at Nita Beer Co. And if you're interested in the music festival, Rock and Rail, it's Saturday, June 16th from noon till 11-ish. Like I said, more information at recordrunner.ca. We're in with myself, Rob, and AJ Jakubek talking the World Cup right now. So we were completely unqualified to handle the World Cup talk on our own. So we asked our friend here, AJ Jakubek, of TSN 1200 calls basically everything, to stick around and give us a bit of a look at the World Cup. Man, there are some really interesting pools here. There are some fascinating countries missing. When you start looking at the Netherlands, you start looking at the Italians. I guess some people care about the Americans. I'm not really one of them. Man, this is truly, I guess, sometimes when you box out some of the top countries, and I guess if they're not in it, they're not top countries, but it kind of looks like a wide open field.
But they didn't qualify for a reason, because
right.
They weren't good enough.
Sure.
Like, and I get it with Italy. I mean, it's UEFA is very unforgiving because basically you've got 52 nations there and probably 20 to 30 are pretty decent. Like even in the last European Championship, they expanded it from 16 to 24 teams and everyone's like, oh, well, this is watered down. Well, the Dutch,
right,
who were in the 2010 World Cup didn't reach the last Euros because they didn't get through. So you've got a lot of good countries in Europe.
They hold the record for most World Cup final appearances without winning the thing. So, like, obviously a very good
San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, kind of. It looks that way a little bit.
No, they're more like the Buffalo Bills and Minnesota.
Oh, okay, all right. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So
cup appearances, bowl appearances, I get it.
But here's the thing. I mean, the Dutch didn't have a very good tournament, right. Very good qualifying.
Right.
The Americans, I mean, who really cares? I mean, the reality is that's more
Fox Sports cares.
That's well, exactly. But I mean, in terms of no one's like dreading outside of the United States, like no one in Germany or Japan or Brazil or South Africa or Australia is sitting back and saying, geez, this World Cup really isn't going to be the same because the Americans aren't
right.
There. We wish, like, the Americans were there.
Like, it's no big difference. They're like 20th or 25th in the world
right.
In terms of quality side. So Italy, yeah, I mean, it's disappointing for the Italians.
Yeah.
But they happen to be in a group with Spain. So one of those two was going to go through the go into the playoff, and they played Sweden. And the reality is, from an Italian standpoint, I think one of their best strikers is probably Sebastian Giovinco. And
really? Here he is, right here.
Wow. And you've got a situation where the manager of Italy was not going to pick him. He's basically crapping all over MLS.
Yeah.
And most players that go to MLS that are big players from Europe are going back nine of their career and like last two, three holes of their career.
Make
right?
some money.
And so you've had a unique situation where you've got a guy in his prime that might be the best player in his prime to play in MLS ever. Like he's that good.
Yeah.
He should be playing in Italy. He should be playing for Italy. And this is a team that struggled to score goals. They played Sweden in the playoff, and the arrogance of the manager thinking, well, I'm not going to pick Giovinco. He plays in MLS. Well, guess what? It came back to bite them in the ass. And so they end up losing to Sweden, and they're out. And that's the way it goes. But, I mean, you've got Portugal with Cristiano Ronaldo. You've got Argentina with Lionel Messi. You've got Germany and France and Spain and Brazil and Belgium. And who cares about Italy? Who cares about the United States? Who cares about the Dutch? They didn't make it tough.
Right.
You've got plenty of good sides in. So anyone that's complaining about the lack of quality is out to lunch.
Hey, and I'm going to be honest with you. I was telling Matt before you arrived, I know you were coming ostensibly as our Red Blacks season preview guy, but I was so curious on the soccer side. And again, neither one of us, we don't give it the attention it deserves worldwide, and our huge worldwide audience. So
27 countries, Mike.
So I did I was serious when I talked about this.
There's maybe one in 25 of those countries.
Yeah, but I did the majority of my research today on World Cup stuff, right? Because I wanted to pick your brain on a couple things. Running late today, leaving work, and I left all those notes, bam, right on my desk at work. But in terms of they're saying there is no group of death, right? Which traditionally you see the pairing. But I'm wondering about Group D, right? Which to me looks like
– which one is
– Group D is the one with Iceland,
yes,
Nigeria.
Okay. And Group H looks tough as
Argentina,
well.
I believe, yes. And –
because everyone seems to be on board with Iceland right now, right? Like as kind of a darling
– well, and see, to me, coming out of the Euros, right? I love the Skull chant, right?
Yes.
To me, how can you not get behind that? But I wonder if that's a great story coming in to the World Cup, but that with their sort of air quotes, ladies and gentlemen, trap style opportunistic scoring, which I think Nigeria kind of plays a similar style. Am I right with that? That they'll be in tough in that division.
I don't. Number one, I don't think there really is a group of death this year. I think
You're along with everybody else. This is just my.
There's some competitive groups. I mean, let's break it down. Group A, this is not a very good group. That's the beauty.
That's Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt,
and Uruguay.
And Uruguay.
Well, that's the beauty
Egypt
of hosting
not missing
it.
Their top.
Well, that's
striker.
The thing. So, like, you've got Group A, and the beauty of hosting is you get a number one seed. So you're basically
beauty
seeded along with Spain and France and Brazil and all the other top teams. And so Russia is nowhere near that caliber. And Egypt, unfortunately, with Mo Salah.
You haven't heard of their little hole in the wall.
What's the deal with Mo Salah? Is he going to be 100%?
Right.
Uruguay, I think, is going to get through. And then Saudi Arabia, I'd be surprised if they did. So to me, it's between Russia and Egypt to get through. Group B, I don't see any way that it's not Portugal and Spain. Some people are saying Morocco can get through.
Right.
But I'm not seeing that. Group C, France is getting through for sure. I don't see Australia doing it. They're not as strong as they were, for example, 12 years ago when they gave Italy a run. So it's between Peru and Denmark to go through. Group D, Argentina should go through, but they've never played that well, even with Lionel Messi. So.
Yeah.
And then you've got three sides in Iceland, Croatia, and Nigeria that I think all have a chance to go through. Group E, Brazil, definitely going through. And then, again, three sides in Switzerland, Costa Rica, and Serbia that will battle for that last spot. I'd probably lean towards Serbia right now. Group F, it'll be surprising if it's not Germany and Mexico for me. Sweden might be able to edge out Mexico if they can find a way to win that match. And Group G, it'll be shocking if it's not Belgium and England,
right,
with Panama and Tunisia in that group. And Group H, I think pretty wide open Group H. Colombia would probably be the favorite. Poland's got Robert Lewandowski. He's one of the best strikers on the planet. Senegal and Japan, I would lean towards leaving out. But I think both are capable of pipping one of those sides to go through. So I think you've got some wide open groups, but I don't see a group here where you'd say that's the group of death.
And ladies and gentlemen,
he just ran through those.
Yeah, I was just gonna say off the top of his head. That's there's awesome.
Oh, I have my phone here. I was flipping through.
Okay,
still,
I was gonna say
it's not.
But to me,
that was impressive.
I was intrigued by D, but H is also the one I think which has four different teams from four different continents. I believe, right? You have that true spread in terms of what you hope for in the World Cup, right? With Japan, Poland, Senegal.
And a lot of people thinking Senegal might be kind of a sweetheart pick.
And this is my take on it. I think the African teams, if you go back far enough to Cameroon, through Nigeria, into Senegal, right? Very athletic teams, right? They like to push the pace traditionally. Am I right?
Yeah, for sure. But I don't see it. Maybe this is my Polish bias, but
of course it is.
A lot of people are saying, "Oh, Poland, they're not going to." I mean, when you've got a striker at the top of his game, and that's where Lewandowski is. I mean, this is a guy that can be a difference maker. And I'm seeing Poland and Colombia there, but I get it. I mean, I don't think Senegal's like it's not like I'm looking at Iran, for example, in a group that includes Portugal and Spain, and I'm saying, okay, it's not happening, right? But do they have a chance? Yeah, they've got a chance, but I think, and look, Poland's right next to Russia, pretty close to right next to Russia. I mean,
within marching distance.
Yeah,
I was in
very close
enough proximity recently, so there's something to be said. I mean, there's a reason that it had taken so long. I mean, there's basically two different sides. Brazil won in Sweden and Germany won in Brazil. And usually it's – if the tournament's held in Europe, it's won by a European team. If it's held outside of Europe, it's won by a non-European team. So I think we're in a stage nowadays with, you know, how everything's easier, right? There's a reason – in hockey and in football and in other sports that more road teams win more games because it's not this
it's not as
perilous traveling experience and all that. Yeah. I mean, everyone's kind of doing whatever they can to make themselves as comfortable as possible wherever they go. But that being said, all things being equal, I'm still taking European sides if I'm looking at equal groups and over sides from other parts of the world just based on the fact that you know, you're in your element, you're in your time zone or one or two away. And that can be a difference. Even if it's a slight difference for one match, that could be the difference between winning and losing one match, which could be the difference when you're talking about, you know, teams of that ilk.
Right.
Between who advances and who doesn't.
All right. So
last thing as we wind this down, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the clock here. Last thing as we wind this down, the biggest event you could make the argument as things kick off this week is the announcement of the 2026 World Cup, Morocco versus USA, Canada, Mexico. I think you could make the argument that the triple bid over here is more prepared because they're also expanding from, 34 to 42?
32 to 48.
Yeah.
Close enough.
There's no way Morocco's getting that bid.
Is there any reason?
Absolutely there could.
Okay, look at see. Well, and
this
I
is why you're here.
And I absolutely defer.
Yeah.
Well, there's multiple reasons. And number one, there's no way Morocco should get the bid given the revenue involved.
Right.
Projected to be over $14 billion with the United bid versus just over $7 billion for the Moroccan bid. All the stadiums are in place.
Yeah.
Versus Morocco where they're going to have to build 14.
A bunch. Yeah.
The infrastructure is in place. It's not in Morocco. The hotels are in place. It's not in Morocco. But we're talking about it. We're talking about politics here. We're talking about
FIFA.
How did Qatar get 2022?
And how many people have to die for your bid?
This is a situation where who was the one that blew the whistle on FIFA? It was the United States. Then you've got the whole Donald Trump factor.
But you he won't be president anymore.
No, he won't, but he's president.
Do we know that?
He's president right now.
We don't know that.
There was a great report by TSN just on Monday afternoon that said and just one source, right? One FIFA source that reported to, I believe it was Rick Westhead, and said we know that Donald Trump does not speak for all Americans, and we know he will not be president by the time this happens. So what does that mean? I don't know if it means anything, but clearly they're trying to distance themselves while keeping their options open.
Well, I know there's a lot of countries, for example, in CONCACAF, and usually the way this works is, okay, You're in North America. You're in CONCACAF. Everyone in CONCACAF is going to vote this way.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the way it's working. No. There's a lot of different little countries like St. Lucia and St. Kitts that are saying, no, we're voting for Morocco.
Yeah.
I'm going rogue.
And so, plus you've got a lot of European countries that are voting Morocco as well because they're saying, well, we're in France. We can go to Morocco or we can go all the way across.
To Edmonton,
exactly. So
love Edmonton.
But
so do I. I'm from there. But
no, we don't normally on this show. But
but here's the thing. Like,
shout out Pete Shirelli.
With all that, like, what's the balance between that and $14 billion versus $7 billion? I think if you're running FIFA,
$7 billion.
If you're running FIFA, you're probably saying, "Come on, guys, let's just give this to the United bid." But everyone's got a vote.
Yeah.
And so, how are these small countries going to vote? And right now, a lot of them are putting their weight behind Morocco. Yep. In fact, there was a list I saw on the internet about a week ago. I don't know where it's at right now, but it was 72 countries had said something along the lines of we're supporting this bid. 52 were supporting the United bid. So That's a lot of ground to make up if it's 72-52.
Whatever.
So, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear me talk shit, that's what we're talking about. This is fact over here to my left.
300 episodes.
what is reality? And that's the kind of thing where you go, there's no way that they're going to give that bid to Morocco. Well, and AJ has now just given us
the reason why
it actually could happen.
If I was a betting man, number one, I would not bet on this at all. But if I was and I was betting on it and put you said, gun to your head, who are you betting on? I'd probably lean towards the North American bid just because of the money involved. But I wouldn't bet a nickel on this because I don't trust the cronies at FIFA to do the right thing.
Yeah. Okay. And I know you said you were looking at the clock. I just want to ask one more question of AJ.
Sure.
Right. Doubling back to this summer's World Cup. Outside of France, Germany, Spain, Brazil, can you give me Croatia.
Don't think that.
Can you give me one person outside those top four that we should be looking for?
Belgium has. I mean,
without hesitation, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, laid it down.
Can they get over the top? Because they're disappointing the last two major tournaments. They got to the quarterfinals at the Euros and we're up 1-0 against Wales and blew it, and Wales ended up winning 3-1. But they have tremendous talent. They've got great keepers, multiple. You've got good defenders. You've got one of the best midfielders in the world in De Bruyne, who plays at Manchester City. You've got two tremendous strikers in Lukaku and Hazard. And so, like, the talent is there for them to potentially even win the World Cup, but can they find a way to not underachieve as they have in the last couple of tournaments? So, I mean, they're in an interesting group with England, Panama, and Tunisia, and if they lose that first match, it could put them into dire straits. If they don't win the group,
right,
could put them into dire straits in terms of their knockout stage draw, but nonetheless, I think Belgium is at least worthy of watching because outside of the countries that have never won the World Cup, Belgium to me looks like the only one with a possibility to change that.
Okay.
Awesome.
That is Tall Can Sports. World Cup kicks off on Thursday. AJ, thank you very much for your contributions.
Yeah, pleasure.
And for Rob, I'm Matt. Give us a follow on Twitter at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio if you want to support the show. And you probably should. Patreon.com/TallCanAudio. We'll see y'all on the next one.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.